Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrner Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. Hey, what if your home's title, which is the legal document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? Well, that's called home title theft, and criminals all over the world can find your home's title online, and then they'll forge your signature, they'll take out loans against your home, or even worse, sell your home. Now, how do you know some criminal's not taking over the title to your home? You can find out with sign up at HomeTitleLock.com and use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. Graduation season now is around the corner, so let Job Genius power your job search. Now, Job Genius offers free advice on job searching, resume writing, interviewing, and tips to ace your first day on the job. Just go to expresspros.com/jobgenius today and search Job Genius on YouTube. Now, let this educational video series be your guide for entering the workforce. Now, Job Genius is brought to you by our friends at Express Employment Professionals, a leading staffing company that employs more than 500,000 people a year. And when you're ready to start your job search, well, turn to Express Pros. Apply now at expresspros.com for administrative jobs, including customer service and sales and accounting positions, as well as skilled labor jobs like drivers and forklift operators and welders and CNC programmers. Now, each Express Employment Professional office is locally owned and operated. They never charge a job seeker a penny, no fee. And Express Pros takes pride in connecting the right people with the right company. Just go to expresspros.com.
Hello, how are you? Anything going on in the news today? Any liberals listening because they're dying to hear what Sean Hannity has to say? A part of me is extraordinarily in a state of humor over a lot of the hypocrisy. I got to thank Rush and Mark Levin. They have both been amazing in their support of me. And I honestly have said this on stage many, many times. I can't imagine an America where we don't have guys like Rush and Mark Levin and others, even some of you talk show hosts that hate me. I'm going to miss people on the list, but, you know, those that really work to make America a better place, believe in the Constitution, equal justice under the law, equal application under the law, that see through the absolute agenda-driven news media, an extension of all things liberal, all things Democratic Party, those that understand the nature of the deep state and a corrupt media and a vapid Democratic Party and weak Republicans, and they just freely, you know, they play such an important role in all of this, and these guys did some, in many ways, they just laid out such a powerful cases in their own way. That I'm very appreciative to Mark and to Rush. Thank you both. My staff is also incredible. I don't mention Hannity.com, which annoys all the hard people that work on Hannity.com every day. So we kind of have Scott Shannon doing it and went on to the promos. Linda, I'm assuming you orchestrated this, has your fingerprints all over it. And now you're going to say everybody played a part in it. And I know that's probably true. And we have the best article I think we've ever put up on Hannity.com. If you haven't been there recently, it's new, it's improved. We're really proud of it. The amount of traffic we've been getting is insane, and we're really working every day. We've hired a bunch of people to do a better job, and it's really coming together very nicely, and I'm really happy about it. And it's called, the headline is Liberal Amnesia. Mainstream media forgets Obama officials' deep ties to president. Huh. And then you read it and you see the mainstream media's nonstop obsession with the president's personal attorney on display all week this week, you know, breathlessly covering, you know, his relationships and on and on and on. You have the Washington Post publishing an article outlining conflicted relationships. They even wrote this back in 2013. So what to make of all the family ties between members of this phony, you know, feigning outrage, corrupt left-wing media in this country in the Obama administration? You know, how many? I guarantee you, as I mentioned some of these, I know Rush did mention many of these today. I don't want to repeat what he did, but it's worth mentioning. I bet until today, you probably never knew that Claire Shipman of ABC, a senior correspondent, was married to the White House press secretary and, you know, suck up, what was his name, Jay Carney. I'm just guessing that you probably didn't know that. Or the CNN president was married to Hillary Clinton's deputy secretary at the time. Or that the CBS president, David Rose, well, the top Obama officials, Ben Rose, Rhodes. Now, of course, he changed the Benghazi talking points. Or, you know, the head of ABC, the president, a guy by the name of Ben Sherwood, is, you know, married to or siblings of Obama special advisor Elizabeth Sherwood. You know, well, maybe it doesn't mean anything, but they certainly should be disclosing all of that after all, shouldn't they? On some level, shouldn't they be telling the people every time? You know, the one I get the biggest kick out of is George Stephanopoulos himself. George Stephanopoulos, go look at the movie The War Room. You know, he's screaming at reporters over so-called bimbo eruption, saying they'll never work in this town again. And then, of course, Clinton press secretary and all things Clinton. And he's like their go-to political guy over at ABC News. I mean, if you didn't, how does he get the first Comey interview? And then the questions that I outlined last night that he didn't bring up in that interview, they're breathtaking. James Comey admitting that the dossier, the Clinton bought and paid for dossier, they pay a foreign national that gets Russian uncorroborated, unverified information, that dossier that the FBI director still to this day has no idea. It's possible it's true. I have no idea. Okay, let's assume that he spoke the truth to George Stephanopoulos. He had no idea if it's true. And how does he explain that dossier was used while he was the FBI director to, quote, the Grassley Graham memo as the bulk of information to obtain a FISA warrant against a Trump campaign associate weeks leading into an election and to spy on an American citizen? And he didn't verify it. He didn't corroborate it, which the FISA law would insist on and standards would insist on and FBI protocols would be mandated in that particular case. But they presented it to the FISA judge anyway and withheld the crucial information, which they knew that Hillary bought and paid for that thing. Now, that to me is, I don't think any of you listening to this program would ever dare go before a judge with information that, well, it could be true and say, well, it could be true, judge, and present it as fact. Because in that case, the standard is much higher to get a warrant to spy on an American citizen. And remember, the FISA court had previously said no to a FISA warrant as it relates to the Trump campaign associate. And then Andrew McCabe, the fired deputy FBI director, Comey's guy, well, he's the one that said without the dossier that they never verified, without that dossier that Clinton paid for, without that dossier that had Russian government lies in it, that was put together by a foreign national. I thought foreign nationals weren't supposed to influence our election process. You know, he said without the dossier, there is no FISA application even. Now, we got this whole big, massive keeping it in the family, the media's relationship with the Obama administration. And it has everything about CNN and NBC News and MSNBC and CBS News. I'm going to break this all down on TV tonight because I don't think anybody else is going to do it. I mean, the level of conflict is so clear and it's so obvious and it's so severe that I think the American people have a right to know all of these things. you know, media figures hired by the Obama administration. You got Richard Stengel. He was the former managing editor of Time magazine, became the undersecretary of state for public diplomacy and public affairs at the State Department. And I mentioned Jay Carney. You got Eric Dash, who used to work at the New York Times, became a public affairs officer at Treasury, and a bunch of other people. Look, it just, let me tell you what I do know about the swamp and the sewer that is Washington. All of these people all know each other. Look at the conflicts. Look at the relationship between Comey, Rod Rosenstein, Robert Mueller, Andrew Weissman, Comey with Strzok and Page, writing the exoneration for Hillary in May, not interviewing Hillary until July, 2 days later exonerating her, but it had been written months before. The guy that conducts the interview with Hillary Clinton when we know she committed crimes ends up being Peter Strzok, the Trump hater that he is. There's so much conflict, and the media absolutely ignores all of it. And then, well, Hannity, you know, yeah, I did have attorney-client conversations mostly over real estate. It's, you know, it just is so corrupt. It is so such a double standard, and it is so obnoxious on so many different levels, but it's not never going to go away, because the mission, when you really look at it, is been and has been to never let Trump get elected, and then from the day he was elected to undermine Donald Trump. You know, forget that, you know, there's news out today that is positive, just like news last week that, let's see, oh, China agreed to concessions to make trade freer and fairer for American auto manufacturers and to protect intellectual property rights and other concessions made by the president of China. You don't hear about those good news stories. You know, we now have the Larry Kudlow, you know, going out there now, the projections to slow the deficit because of the economic growth, because of the Trump plan, which happened under Kennedy and Reagan. It's now happening under Donald Trump. It looks like it's going to slow deficit growth by $2.5 trillion because GDP is beginning to surge. You know, we have a Reuters story today. Housing starts surged more than expected in March. Nobody in the media will ever talk about that. They're too, you know, apparently Stormy Daniels gave an interview today. That is the top priority of news. You know, or forget about the conflicts. You know, apparently one of the judges in one of these cases, you know, officiated at George Soros's wedding. No, there's no conflict in there like George Soros has an agenda. You know, let's not talk about any of these things at all. Or the judge in the case was, you know, it just goes on and on and on. You get my point here. And as I go over all the news every day, you can see it every day. There's very few of us that are out there that are seeking the truth, because what we know are facts here. And the media has ignored the biggest abuse of power scandal in the history of this country. Hillary did, in fact, use an unsecure server to circumvent congressional oversight. That was hacked by at least five or six foreign intelligence agencies compromising national security. We know that it's illegal, a violation of the law 18 U.S.C. 793, to mishandle or destroy classified information. And I defy anybody out there that if you have subpoenaed emails that you get to just go out and delete 33,000 of them, acid wash your hard drive, have somebody that works for you beat up your devices to destroy any memory on them, and you tell me that you're not going to get arrested for obstruction of justice of some kind. And then, of course, when you have your friends doing the investigation and writing your exoneration beforehand, you're in good shape. It doesn't matter. And for all the talk, you know, about Trump-Russia collusion, how is it possible? It's not just an irony, it's twisted. That there was collusion, there was Russian interference. Devin Nunes was warning about it in 2014, but specifically to one campaign. You know, all the talk, we can't have foreign nationals or entities influencing our elections. Well, Fusion GPS, they hid it for a year. Nobody said they had to turn over the information who paid for this dossier. Anyway, they funneled the money through a law firm to make it look like a legal expense, Perkins Coie. And then they're paying Michael Steele, a foreign agent, to get Russian lies and Russian information to influence an election. never verified, corroborated, and used as a basis to get a warrant to spy on an American citizen who happens to be an associate of the Trump campaign in the lead up to the election. And we have admissions that there were people working with the media in this country to disseminate what was unverified, uncorroborated, just to help Hillary Clinton get elected. I don't need lectures from any of these people in the media because they've never done their job and told you these stories. And that's what makes us different. That's what makes this show and the TV show successful, because everything we've exposed is true. And it's at a spectacular level in terms of failure for the American people. And by the way, God forbid they ever care about the men and women, the forgotten men and women in poverty and on food stamps and out of the labor force that are now getting jobs. They don't care that we have a shot at denuclearization in the Korean Peninsula. They don't care that we might have an historic opportunity for Middle East peace with the Israelis aligning with the Egyptians, Jordanians, the Saudis, and the Emirates against Iranian hegemony. You know, God forbid we have a president that actually means he'll stand up to the evil use of chemical weapons and stands by that promise and doesn't want nation building. And if he's so concerned as president about what Vladimir Putin thinks, I don't think that bombing would have occurred last Friday.
Ah, springtime, the time for your senses to come alive. The sun is warm, the skies are blue, and that alluring sound of sizzling steaks hitting the grill top. And best of all, cigar deals are in bloom. That's right, my friends. It's time to fire up your favorite hand-rolled cigars. And the good people at FamousSmoke.com have an offer to make springtime the tastiest ever. Want to save money on your favorite smokes? Done! Famous is giving you an instant $10 cash back at checkout. You say you want free shipping with that? Done! Just go to FamousSmoke.com and click the Activate button. When you spend $75 or more, you get $10 cash back, and we'll ship your entire order for free. Hey, have we completely lost our minds? Maybe we have, but you're the winner with this deal when you buy the world's best cigar brands that smell so good and taste even better, because that's the Famous way. Ignite your senses and save money, too. Just go to FamousSmoke.com and click the Activate button. That's FamousSmoke.com.
All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. Let me just go to what I think is some really important things that the media is never going to touch on here that we really need to. And as I watch Comey now, it's funny to see how the left is turning on him, because there is deep, bitter resentment that James Comey even created an appearance that he was trying to investigate. In my opinion, we now know otherwise here. And, you know, that's why watching this interview with Comey, you know, why wasn't the issue of confirming the dossier was used as the primary source of a FISA warrant? Well, George Stephanopoulos never got to that. You know, when you spy on an American, that's why we have FISA laws. That is to protect Americans against the powerful tools of intelligence that we give high-ranking officials and the intelligence community and the FBI, Justice Department, et cetera. We give it to them to spy on terrorists, to those people that may bring harm to America. There are stringent and strict guidelines in terms of obtaining warrants. But in this particular case, they handed a judge information that they never bothered to corroborate. And you see that, well, Comey obviously thought Clinton was going to win. Why did he make any decision based on what he thought the outcome would be? You know, why did the Grassley Graham, if that's the bulk of information and he still doesn't know if it's true? This is a scary thing if you believe in the rule of law, the Constitution, equal justice under the law, equal application under the laws, if you care about the right to privacy. And it's amazing, you know, anybody that's ever done legal work for me getting phone call, did you ever work for Sean Hannity? What was it about? I'm like, really? Well, let's ask all your lawyers or friends of yours what your life is all about. The level of intrusion is beyond anything I've ever seen. You know, and Alan Dershowitz was right. So they should have, you know, in many ways, they don't care about civil liberties anymore. That's the sad thing. All right, 25 now till the hour, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. How deeply have people investigated this law firm Perkins Coie? And others, you know, their partner, I think it was, what's his name, Mark Elias? Is that his name? Yeah, I'm pretty sure, right? You know, in a scandal that otherwise, you know, the media's singular focus is, you know, they have not decided that it's a big deal yet that, in fact, we've had abuse of surveillance and unmasking and leaking raw intelligence. They haven't figured out that that's a really dangerous position for any country to be in, just like they haven't figured out that, you remember, Fusion GPS, they tried for the longest time not to reveal that it was Hillary and the DNC that paid for the phony Russian dossier put together by a foreign national. I didn't see a lot of media outrage in that particular case. It's pretty much non-existent, or an unverified dossier used to get a FISA warrant on an American citizen, Trump campaign associate in the lead up to an election, paid for by Hillary and never verified, or that, in fact, the fix was in with a bunch of Trump haters as it relates to the email crimes that Hillary committed, which I am sure of. You know, but if you actually, you know, look at the Perkins Coie money, now think about that. The money is literally funneled through this law firm to Fusion GPS. Now, why is that? Is that to circumvent, you know, Mark Elias, by the way, represented, what, Governor Roy Cooper in North Carolina post-election. He is, you know, if you look at it, he's on the Perkins Coie website. But he also served as a lead counsel for Senator Al Franken. Now, but the media never seemed to care that that money, some $12 million, is funneled through a law firm, because then you get to characterize it as a legal expense when really what it was an operation designed to get dirt on Donald Trump using a foreign national that's not supposed to influence our elections and using Russian sources that have never been confirmed. Has the media ever cared about that? You know, 2016, you look at this whole scheme that they pulled off and the money funneled through the DNC, which, of course, we know that Donna Brazile was claiming that Hillary was in charge of that money. By the way, another thing you should be concerned at, NBC News is reporting that, and I can't be sure because it's NBC, but they are reporting that the FBI actually wiretapped phone calls between the president and Michael Cohen. All right, but what authority does the FBI get to wiretap a president of the United States with his own personal attorney? Does that raise questions of attorney-client privilege? You know, the FBI just didn't do surveillance on Cohn. They were recording his phone calls at that point. I think that's a big issue that nobody will ever bring up in the media. You know, a friend of mine calls me and goes, yeah, you have to put on Rush today. And I put it on. It was early into his show. And he went on a absolutely brilliant monologue about how, you know, people, the conflicts of interest regarding the being laid up by people who accept an up close personal relationship with Obama any day of the week, or Hillary any day of the week. They love this people. Okay, I want the president to succeed. I don't hide that fact from anybody. And by the way, so does most of the country, if you care about the country. And I'm not withholding anything from anybody about anything here. And it doesn't matter what my explanations happen to be, or that I've used attorneys in my life. You know, what it is the deep state, those that hate Trump, are just going to focus in those parts of the narrative that work best for them. And I've known these people in Washington for a long, long time. And when you talk about swamp, you're talking about congressmen and congresswomen and senators and all these people that work for them and their staffs. And they're all best friends with each other. In other words, you have all the media people sucking up to the staff of this senator, that congressman, that congresswoman, et cetera. And the list goes on and on and on about how conflicted all these people are. They go out to dinner, they date each other, whatever else they do with each other. I don't know, and I don't really care. It's none of my business. You know, but all of a sudden, you would think that this is this, you know, you just watch the whole thing. It's pretty revealing in the sense that I think it just reveals the media for everything that we have said the media is. And to sit back and to watch it all unfold is more than I can tell you. It is beyond surreal. Now, I want to move on a little bit here. You know, one of the reasons that we are where we are today in terms of learning about the deep state and learning about what has gone on behind the scenes and a lot of people finding out about Comey and Comey's relationship with Mueller and Mueller's relationship with Comey and Rod Rosenstein and Andrew McCabe and Comey and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And we know that the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, you know, you got these relationships that just are intertwined going back forever. Anyway, so Comey gives his first interview since Trump fires him to George Stephanopoulos, who's the biggest Clinton sycophant in the country. And you've got seven current or former FBI agents and officials speaking throughout and immediately after the broadcast about their anger. And I can tell you that there are people in the intelligence community and the FBI that are absolutely appalled at what Comey is doing and what has been done and the lack of equal justice under the law in all of this. One former FBI official sent a bourbon emoji, and it began as another sent the beers cheers emoji. And the responses were increasingly angry and despondent as this interview played out. Now, this was reported by the Daily Beast. You know, Hoover is spinning in his grave, said one FBI official, former FBI official, making money from a total failure. You know, when the promo aired announcing Comey's upcoming interview with The View, then they got even angrier. Good Lord, what a self-serving, self-centered jackass. True to form, he thinks he's the smartest guy around. And a current FBI official said it was bizarre that Comey seemed so pleased with the whole episode. It's how happy he looked on TV while cashing in on the biggest mistake in history. His mistake. Jim Comey made that mistake. We all just wonder what could have been and what we could have done to change it. And then Comey, and this was in Byron York's piece in the Washington Examiner, told Congress, remember, Michael Flynn didn't lie. And apparently Peter Strzok, who also interviewed Hillary and Michael Flynn, says he didn't lie. Well, now he says he did. Now, last year, if you remember, in closed-door testimony before the House Intel Committee, then FBI Director Comey testified that General Flynn didn't lie to FBI interrogators. And two prominent members of the Intelligence Committee have gone public about what Comey told them. Now, speaking to Fox News, December 4th, 2017, former House Intel Committee member Peter King said, when Director Comey came before us back in January or February 2017, he said, even then, the FBI wasn't certain that General Flynn had lied or that he violated any law. And Comey thought that maybe Flynn was trying to skirt something and that he didn't want to make it a political issue. But again, they were not certain at all that he was lying. Well, how does somebody like that get indicted? And 3 days earlier, Trey Gowdy offered the same assessment, telling Fox News that when Comey was questioned behind closed doors about whether General Flynn lied to the FBI, his answer was different than the conclusion reached by Mueller's prosecution team. Now, the Washington Examiner's Byron York, Comey is now changing his story. And I didn't even pick this up. And that is, in his ABC interview, James Comey was asked about reports that he told Congress that the FBI agents who interviewed Trump, National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, did not think Flynn had lied to them, even though Flynn several months later pled guilty to one count of lying to the FBI. I'm sure that was part of some plea deal. Anyway, the exchange was, Stephanopoulos says, there's been some reporting. At one point, you told Congress that the agents who interviewed Mike Flynn didn't believe he had lied. Comey says, yeah, I saw that, and that I don't know where that's coming from, that unless I and something that people misunderstood, I don't remember even intending to say that, so my recollection is I never said that to anybody. Well, in their findings from the Russia investigation released in advance of the still unreleased final report, Republicans on the House Intel Committee included finding number 22, General Flynn pleaded guilty to making a false statement to the FBI regarding his December 6, 2016 conversation with a Russian ambassador, even though the FBI agents did not detect any deception during the Flynn interview. It turns out that sources say the Comey House Intel meeting
at issue was transcribed. So there is a word-for-word record of what Comey was asked and what he said. So it seems reasonable to infer that the finding number 22 doesn't contradict Comey and what he said in an interview, nor did lawmakers make the finding out of whole cloth. You know, all of this, none of this would happen if we would just simply apply the law here. You know, the big untold story is really, really simple, is that Hillary Clinton didn't want oversight. Hillary Clinton put up a server that got hacked by foreign intelligence agencies, probably, if I had to guess, Iran, China, the Russians, the North Koreans, and who else? God only knows who. And that Hillary Clinton, as a result of this, violated the law. And then when she was subpoenaed by Congress, she decided and her people decided they were going to just delete some of the emails. I think some of them have been recovered, but not all of them. And 33,000 is a massive number of emails to delete and then claim they're about yoga, a wedding, a funeral, and emailing with your husband who doesn't use email. And then after that, just to make super sure, somebody that works for, they acid wash the hard drive and then they beat it up with devices. Now, those were crimes that were committed by any fair, objective, discernible application under the law. And the destruction of that information is not only a crime in and of itself, but it's also obstruction of justice. So now the investigation ensues. And then you've got, okay, well, Hillary Clinton's working her way through the primary. She rigs the primary with Bernie Sanders. I don't think there's anybody in the media that has given a flipping rip about poor Bernie Sanders and all of his supporters that were lied to because the whole thing was rigged from the get-go. Anyway, all right, so she rigs the primary.
I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to f***ing kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better f***ing fix this shit right now. I literally am going to die. I need an ambulance.
Anyway, so they fix the primary. And then we get to the issue of the investigation. And the investigation, they start the exoneration. That's in May. They don't interview her till July. The person that interviews her, one of the two, is Peter Strzok, who we know, along with Lisa Page. Oh, God, please, God, he can't be elected. He's the worst, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, they were corresponding some kind of insurance policy as it relates to Andrew McCabe, who had lied under oath. And that's why he was removed from office. Why these two people still have a security clearance is beyond any understanding that I have either. The president has every right to fire Comey. In retrospect, it seems like a brilliant move on his part that he shouldn't have been in that position. Anyway, so for Hillary to continue as the Democratic Party nominee, she has to get these charges dropped, this investigation dropped. And that's what Jim Comey and people like Jim Comey and Peter Strzok were involved in. And then we've got, well, worked on, I guess, influencing the primary, you know, then the whole issue of the dossier gets built. And we've hired a foreign national, Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele gets the money funneled through Fusion GPS, money that Hillary's funneled through a law firm, Perkins Coie, that the DNC, that she's controlling the finances of, funnels through Perkins Coie. And then the money is given to Fusion GPS, so I assume pays Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele gets, you know, these Russian sources to come up with the most salacious lies about Donald Trump. Nobody verifies them. Nobody corroborates them. As a matter of fact, many of them by now have been debunked. Well, then they use that as the basis, the bulk of information to get a FISA warrant. And then ever since then, you've got these forces that I've described. You've got the deep state. You got a corrupt media that has never, ever investigated any of this. It's the biggest corruption, abuse of power scandal in our lifetime. And they go for every little tiny superfluous detail they can about any conservative and ignore the big, huge, massive fish that literally you could catch by just casting your line out. I mean, that's why I say journalism's dead. And that's where we find ourselves today. Unbelievable times. If you care about the country, you should be worried. If you care about the Constitution, the rule of law in this country, you should be worried. I can't give you any sense that this is all going to work out the right way and the truth will finally all come out, because the media has now no interest in that happening. Democrats have no interest in that happening. Deep state, high powerful actors have no interest in that happening.
So there's like a few of us. And then you might as well go out there for good measure and smear every conservative in the process, which also, you know, is happening on a daily basis.
He had impressively coiffed hair that looks to be all his. I confess I stared at it pretty closely. And my reaction was, must take a heck of a lot of time in the morning. His tie was too long, as it always is. He looked slightly orange up close with small white half moons under his eyes, which I assume are from tanning goggles.
I think he was wrong from the get-go. I mean, I criticized him in July when he went out and did his big press conference and said, oh, they weren't going to charge Secretary Clinton. And then I criticized him again in October and took some heat from some Republicans when he reopened the investigation. I think he was wrong throughout this. And understand what he did, too, Brian. Mr. Comey misled the American people in both investigations, the Clinton and the Trump investigation. With Clinton, he's at the urging of the attorney general, calls the Clinton investigation a matter, not an investigation, when everyone knew it was an investigation. And then with President Trump, he allows the country to believe the president is under investigation when, in fact, he wasn't and had been told by James Comey that he wasn't. So I think this guy just messed everything up from the get-go. And frankly, I think he doesn't have a whole lot of credibility. We know where Loretta Lynch was with this. She was meeting with former President Clinton 3 days before Secretary Clinton was supposed to be interviewed. So we know that there was probably that pressure. But again, Andy McCabe doesn't have a whole lot of credibility either. And I think as you look at all this, the thing that bothers Americans so much and certainly bothers the president, bothers me, is the double standard. I mean, Mike Flynn, while not under oath, makes a false statement to the FBI and gets indicted. Andy McCabe lies 4 times to the FBI, twice under oath to Michael Horowitz, and nothing happens to him. That's the kind of stuff that drives Americans crazy. So the double standard with how Cheryl Mills, Secretary Clinton's lawyer, was treated compared to Michael Cohen and the raid that took place last week on his personal and business locations, I mean, that's the stuff that makes Americans so frustrated.
Critics say the fix was in from the start.
President Trump says you were writing the conclusion even before you interviewed Hillary Clinton. That is just wrong.
Anybody who's actually done investigations knows that if you've been investigating something for almost a year and you don't have a general sense of where it's likely to end up, you should be fired because you're incompetent.
And to those who say you should have brought Hillary Clinton before a grand jury?
We would prefer, with a subject of an investigation, to do an informal interview. A lot more flexibility there. They're still required to tell the truth.
You write that President Trump is unethical, untethered to the truth. Is Donald Trump unfit to be president?
Yes, but not in the way I often hear people talk about it. I don't buy the stuff about him being mentally incompetent or early stages of dementia. He strikes me as a person of above average intelligence who's tracking conversations and knows what's going on. I don't think he's medically unfit to be president. I think he's morally unfit to be president. A person who sees moral equivalence in Charlottesville, who talks about and treats women like they're pieces of meat, who lies constantly about matters big and small and insists the American people believe it, that person's not fit to be president of the United States on moral grounds. Our president must embody respect and adhere to the values that are at the core of this country, the most important being truth. This president is not able to do that. He is morally unfit to be president.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program, part of the interview, I guess, fluffball interview James Comey got with Clinton sycophant. George Stephanopoulos, talk about a conflict. I mean, here's the guy that got Hillary off the hook. Here's the guy that used the Hillary bought and paid for dossier. His first interview goes to George Stephanopoulos, you know, the guy that's in the movie The War Room getting rid of bimbo eruptions and former press secretary of the Clintons. You can't get it any closer, which means it's no surprise that the main questions were never asked. Important questions. Anyway, Jim Jordan is on the House Freedom Caucus. How are you, sir? Welcome aboard. I would like to know, number one, how is it possible that James Comey still doesn't know that about the contents, the veracity of the contents of this dossier that Clinton bought and paid for, that a foreign national put together using Russian sources? He still doesn't know it's true, but as we learned from the Grassley-Graham memo and the Nunes memo, well, the bulk of information to obtain that warrant to spy on a Trump campaign associate came from a dossier that he never verified.
Yeah, and he testified under oath that it was unverified. And they took it to the FISA court and didn't tell the court two important things. One, who paid for it, which is a kind of important fact. And second, they didn't tell the court that the author of that dossier, Christopher Steele, his relationship with the FBI had been terminated because he broke a cardinal rule. He went and told the press he was working for the FBI. So in the three subsequent renewals that they got on that FISA application that they took to the court, they didn't tell the court the whole truth, like you and I would have to if we're in front of a court of law.
Well, it's even worse than that, isn't it? I mean, they didn't tell the whole truth. They never verified. Isn't by FISA law, don't you have an obligation to present only verified, corroborated things to the judge? If he's saying, well, I don't know if it's true, anything could be true, that is hardly the type of information you present to a court to get a warrant to spy on an American, and then not telling the judge that, in fact, the opposition party candidate paid for this through a foreign national, you know, using Russian sources. That seems to me like they were lied to on a spectacular level.
Yeah, this would be humorous if it wasn't so serious, because maybe the first thing that should tell you that this might not be real good fact, might not be fact at all, is who paid for it. Right. Maybe that's the first thing you should check and say, maybe we should be a little suspect and really double check everything before we take it. They didn't do that, even though they knew it was an Oppo research document. In fact, what they did, in my judgment, is they dressed it all up, made it look like it was legitimate intelligence, took it to the court and got the warrant to spy on someone associated with President Trump's campaign, which is as wrong as it gets. Again, you or I can't go into a court of law. When we go into a court of law, we're supposed to tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. It sure looks like they did not do that with this dossier.
Well, the other part, and now I guess we have to wait till May for the Inspector General's report as it relates to the investigation into the Hillary Clinton email server. Look, I'm not a lawyer, but when I read 18 U.S.C. 793, I think it's pretty obvious you can't mishandle or destroy classified top secret special access programming information, which she did. And then if Jim Jordan's... If a committee you're on, you subpoena documents for me and I start deleting them and acid washing my hard drive and beating up or having somebody bust up my BlackBerries to destroy them, is that the definition of obstruction of justice?
Yes, yes. And never forget, Sean, I asked Secretary Clinton this under oath in front of the Benghazi committee. I said, Secretary, why don't you agree to let a neutral third party, like a retired federal judge, have access to all 60,000 of your emails and let that individual decide which ones are personal that you get to keep and which ones belong to our committee, belong back to the government for the American people to see. She would not agree to that. Now, think about this. President Trump would take that deal in a heartbeat based on what happened last week, where they just go in and grab everything Michael Cohen has, grab it all. He'd love to have a neutral third party like a retired federal judge on the front end, but no, Clinton wouldn't do that, and it got even worse. What they did is they said to Cheryl Mills, her lawyer, hey, Cheryl, when do you want us to come over? You've already looked through everything. When can we come over and pick up the ones that we're entitled to get? You tell us what's a good time for you. That's how they treated her compared to what we saw last week. That is the part that more than anything frustrates the American people.
Why is it taking so long, do you think, for us to get information on all of these matters? And let me just give you a short list of all of this. You have the surveillance, the unmasking, the leaking of raw intelligence, unmasking at a rate we've never seen before. Samantha Powers, almost one a day for the last year she's in office. Why would a UN ambassador be unmasking anybody? And then leaking raw intelligence, that's also a crime. That happened, we know, in the case of Michael Flynn. But then you have the way this investigation into Hillary's email was handled. Now, if we know she committed felonies, and we know that Comey and Trump hater Peter Strzok were writing the exoneration, and then Strzok got assigned to interviewing Hillary Clinton, we have to know that the fix was in here. Is there any doubt in your mind that that investigation was rigged? Because I have no doubt.
Well, we thought the fix was in before the Strzok page text messages. Now that we've got the Strzok page text messages, we know the fix was in. So you're exactly right. And here's the thing about James Comey. I think that most of the American people feel like this guy has zero credibility. He screwed up the investigation into Secretary Clinton from the get-go. I criticized him in July when he did the big press conference and came out and as the FBI director said that they weren't going to prosecute and laid it all out. And I criticized him again in October when he announced he was reopening. I took heat from Republicans. But my position was, and I think the vast majority of Americans' position is, this guy screwed it up from the get-go. Of course the fix was in. Anyone who's objective can see that now.
Yeah, well, anybody. So where does this go from here? And do we have to now worry about statute of limitations running out?
Here's where it goes. We got to get the documents. And we met with John Lausch, Congressman Meadows, and I met with a new point person at DOJ on getting his documents. And I asked him four questions last week. I said, tell us the approximate universe of documents we're entitled to. Tell us the standard you currently use to determine what gets redacted. Tell us the number of steps in your current process. And then, of course, the most important question, tell us when we're going to, as a separate and equal branch of government, get what we're entitled to. And their answers last week were, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Now, since then, they sent us a letter yesterday, and their answers are approximately 46,000 documents that we're entitled to that they think is the universe we should get. And then the other three questions are still, I don't know. So not a big improvement in 1 week's time. That is the big problem. And their answer is, well, this is the way it's always been done. Well, that's the problem. You got to change things, people.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back more with Jim Jordan of the Freedom Caucus, Ohio congressman on the other side. All right, as we continue with Ohio Congressman, Freedom Caucus member Jim Jordan is with us. What do we have any idea what Comey was referring to when he threw Loretta Lynch under the bus with information that nobody at this point knows about that caused him to feel that he needed to usurp her power and step in and be the public face of the Clinton email investigation? Because whatever it is, it sounds ominous.
Yeah, it does. I do not know. I do not know if it's something that was communicated in the now infamous tarmac meeting. I do not know. I think that in and of itself is a big concern that, you know, Loretta Lynch met with former President Clinton 3 days before Secretary Clinton was to be interviewed. But I don't know if it was something conveyed in that conversation that he knows about that we don't. I just do not know. But even apart from that, it still was wrong for Mr. Comey to take this over. And obviously the actions of Loretta Lynch were wrong as well.
What about one other thing? When Comey said, oh, my God, did we have some role in this when Donald Trump won?
Come on. The only reason Comey even brought it forward is because, and we all thought this, I mean, we've said this before, is because he thought she was going to win. Everyone in the swamp here thought she was going to win. So he's like, oh, there's no harm here. I'll do this and bring it from. Other than that, if he didn't think she was going to win, I don't think he'd announce that they'd reopen the investigation. But these guys, think about this, Sean. James Comey's been fired. Andrew McCabe's been fired. Jim Baker, former FBI chief counsel, has been demoted, reassigned. Peter Strzok, deputy head of counterintelligence, demoted, reassigned. Lisa Page, FBI counsel, demoted, reassigned. These are the top people of the FBI. When have you ever seen that many people fired, demoted, reassigned, who were running the place? Of course there were big problems.
And what about Comey now? His mandate was Trump-Russia collusion and anything associated. Now we're talking about Stormy Daniels, Karen McDougal, the Access Hollywood tape, and he seems to be latching on to just about anything that would work for him.
Here's something that is relatively recent that concerns me is Rod Rosenstein wrote this additional memo on August 2nd. You know, May 17th of last year, the special counsel's name, Rod Rosenstein, writes a memo outlining the parameters of the special counsel's investigation. He does a supplement to that on August 2nd. It became public just a few weeks ago, and the vast majority of that document is redacted. I want to know why. I want to know what in that document, what changed? Was this a change in the parameters of the special counsel investigation? Was this an amendment to it? Was this what was that document all about? And why did he have to put it in writing? Why couldn't he's the guy who Mueller has to answer to? He can just communicate to that.
What do you make of the fact that his approval rating is down now 11 points? He's at 32%, Robert Mueller. Are the American people getting hip to the fact that he appointed really people that have abused power in the past, like his pit bull, Andrew Weissman? Are you concerned about the people that he hired?
I think everyone is. And I think when you boil it all down, it's the American people don't like two standards. They don't like one set of rules for Sean Hannity, Jim Jordan, and regular folk across this country. And a different set if your name is Clinton, Comey, Lynch, Lerner. They don't like that. And they believe that this great nation, it's supposed to be equal treatment under the law. So that's why his numbers are going down. Because Americans are fundamentally concerned with equal treatment under the law.
Yeah, well, I guess if Sean Hannity or Jim Jordan spit on the sidewalk, we're going to get, not only a fine, we'll get handcuffed and mugshotted and perp walked.
Sean, Mike Flynn makes one false statement while not under oath, and he gets indicted. Andrew McCabe lies to James Comey, lies to the Office of Professional Responsibility, and then lies twice under oath to the Inspector General. And what happens to him? Nothing like what happened to Mike Flynn. That's what Americans hate.
Do you think there's a chance, based on the attorney involved, I'm sorry, the judge involved in the Flynn case is interesting to me because he also presided over the Ted Stevens case. And in that case, it was discovered that exculpatory evidence was withheld. By the way, Andrew Weissman has a history of being excoriated by judges for such. And the judge in the Flynn case said, I'll decide what's exculpatory and what's not. Do you think now that's an indication that this has a chance of being thrown out, his guilty plea agreement?
Yeah, I don't know. You have to talk to legal minds. I do know that the judge didn't recuse himself in the Flynn case till after the case is the same judge that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were talking about in some of their text message correspondence. And Peter Strzok was a friend of that judge, which seems strange. And I also know that that conversation was one of the documents that we got from the Department of Justice, and it was all redacted. We had to go to the Department of Justice to figure out that Judge Contreras and Peter Strzok were friends, and that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were talking about that friendship and how that may impact accusal going forward. All interesting stuff. Why it was redacted, why DOJ didn't want us to know that important piece of information, I'm not sure.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim Jordan. We appreciate you being with us. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Yeah, we're kind of proud of that distinction. Anyway, glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. We're always pleased and happy to have back to the program Monica Crowley. She's a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research, former editor of the Washington Times, has been on with us on Fox forever. After the president made the decision as it relates to Syria, one has to ask ourselves the question, after World War One, after World War Two, after the unbelievable, horrific, evil damage of chemical weapons and mass destruction, well, the president made the decision, along with coalition partners, Great Britain and France, that he would strike at the heart of strategically precision strikes at the heart of the chemical weapons facilities of President Assad of Syria. Monica Crowley has some insight into this and much more. She comes to us. I guess you're in Jerusalem tonight. How are you?
Hey, Sean. Yeah, I'm sitting in Jerusalem, and it's Israel's Memorial Day tonight going into tomorrow, and it's followed by Israel's Independence Day. So it's quite a time to be here. And, you know, I decided to write that column for The Hill a couple of days ago because before I got to Israel, I was in Poland, and I attended the annual March of the Living. And I marched along with 13,000 other people from Auschwitz to Birkenau. They do this every year to remember the victims of the Holocaust. And then from there, I came to Israel. And during that period of time, President Trump made the very brave and correct, I think, decision to retaliate against the Assad regime's use of chemical weapons against his own people, killing an estimated 40 people with poison gas. And having been through this experience in Poland and having arrived in Israel, I just thought, yes, you know, we can debate the strategic imperatives of his decision to respond in this way with airstrikes, but we cannot debate the moral imperative to do it. We have spent the last 90 years since the end of World War One and the brutal use of poison gas in that war saying never again to those kinds of weapons. And then, of course, 70 years after the Holocaust, saying never again. Well, do those words really mean anything? If they do, that means that the United States, acting as a great power, needs to react to this kind of abhorrent behavior, regardless of the size or scale of the tyrant in question.
Why do you think it is that there are even many on our side? I watched Friday night. I do take the president at his word. And by the way, these were precision strikes designated for those areas where we thought, I believe, that the manufacturing these chemical weapons takes place. And by the way, they can be manufactured very inexpensively and very quickly. But there was a feeling that, oh, no, well, President Trump said he wasn't going to be an interventionist. I don't think this changes the president's foreign policy at all. I think the line in the sand is that if we don't create a deterrent for the use of chemical weapons, we're going to see them used again and again and again. And I don't really feel like putting on my television set and seeing pictures of innocent men, women, and children suffering because of a chemical attack when we do have the ability to stop it without becoming a nation builder and getting further involved in the ongoing civil war in Syria.
Well, that's right. And I think when any president gets to that office, Sean, they quickly learn the lessons of history if they didn't know them already. And the lesson of history is that when the United States, as the leader of the free world, does not respond in a timely fashion to abhorrent behavior like this, like the use of weapons of mass destruction, if we don't do that, we will end up fighting a much bigger war down the road. That's the lesson of World War I. That's the lesson of World War II. In a way, it's the lesson of Vietnam, because we responded in an incremental way, and we ended up with a much bigger war on our hands. President Trump, who entered office having never done any of this before, I think has made a very wise moral decision in taking action here, and also strategic decision. Because, as I said, if he didn't act in this kind of way, backed up, by the way, by the UK and France, this is not a go-it-alone thing, but the United States, people on our side, Sean, are worried that we're going to be dragged into a larger war. Well, I've got news for you. We are the world superpower. We are already involved. This is the Middle East. I'm sitting in Israel now, in the heart of the Middle East. We are already involved for a whole range of reasons. And if we can't take an action like this on behalf of innocent people who are being gassed to death, then we no longer deserve to call ourselves a great power.
I do believe that there are certain times and moments where you have to lead, and I think that that imperative was put together. What else? There had been some, well, uprisings on the borders with Israel and the Palestinians of late. Is that still ongoing? And are you planning on seeing the prime minister while you're there?
Well, I can tell you this, Sean. I'm in the middle of two back-to-back national holidays in Israel, which just began tonight as I'm speaking to you. So I'm not quite sure I'll be able to get in to see the prime minister before I return to New York at the end of the week. I will be seeing the Israeli president on Thursday morning here, so I hope to have some time with him. Today we went down to the Gaza Strip. Can't get all that close. We were with members of the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF. They wouldn't allow us to get as close as I had been to the Gaza Strip in the past. But we saw an Israeli training exercise right there, right on the border, and we saw live fire exercise. And then, of course, we saw some of the Palestinians in the distance. Tomorrow, Sean, I'll be going up to northern Golan, to the Syrian border, where all of the action is, of course, the airstrikes. But tomorrow I'll be able to see the training camps of ISIS, Hezbollah, a range of terrorist groups, and I'll be happy to report back to you on that.
All right, I'd love to hear it. All right, Monica Crowley in Israel tonight, your time. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it as always. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. We say hi to Kevin is in Louisiana. Kevin, hey, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, stay strong. You're our voice out here. Without your reporting and your colleagues, none of this would have been exposed, and they want to try to take down one of the big dogs that's nipping at their heels on a daily basis.
Well, I did learn a lot in the last 24 hours. I didn't realize I was hated that badly, but apparently I'm hated that badly and more. But I never had any illusions. What?
You're hated on that side of the coin, but that's the people that want to try to bring you down, because you're pretty much the big dog.
You know, I don't think you're very kind. Look, I don't think of anything that I do as being the big dog or anything like that. I honestly, truly believe this, that there are those of us that love this country and believe in what America is. And I believe all of us, I tell this to my radio and television team all the time. Linda's heard this speech 1,000 times. All right, what speech am I about to give, Linda, before I give it? You can guess what it's going to be. Do you know?
No, I don't know. Enlighten me.
Right. How many times have I said we're all spokes in a wheel? And you need every spoke in that wheel to make the wheel go around. You start losing spokes and the wheel starts getting wobbly. And if enough spokes fall off, then you don't have a wheel and you don't have a country. And what I'm afraid of, these are very dangerous post-constitutional times, as Mark Levin has said. And we see it now happening every single day. And, you know, look at the politicizing of Mueller's team. Look at the people he's put on that team. Look at crimes we know are committed, and yet we don't have equal justice or equal application under the law. We have a two-tier justice system. You got the Hillary Clinton system, and then you have the rest of America's system. And that is an extremely dangerous moment for this country. And if you doubt what I'm saying is true, just keep watching, because this effort to undermine a duly elected president is real. The forces that I have described against the president are real. They're working every day, day and night, to accomplish that goal. It's now become their drug, their obsession, their opioid, and they can't give up that junk, and they can't see straight anymore. And so anything that is in any way associated with supporting the duly elected election or the president, you know, this is the type of thing that happens. This is what the media does. The media is not honest. The media, it's all things that they can do to create a narrative, an impression of chaos, and undermine a duly elected president. They never thought this day would come. They laughed at his candidacy. They laughed at the idea he could beat 16 other Republicans or Hillary Clinton. And then we find out of the irony of all ironies is that a special counsel is appointed to look into Russian collusion, and we find it, but it's not Trump. So they move on to Stormy Daniels and Carrie McDougal and Access Hollywood. And meanwhile, there was one candidate that paid a foreign agent, foreign national, to get Russian lies to manipulate the votes of the American people and influence the election.
I think you should remind the audience about when they laughed. I never get tired of that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite tapes. All right, you really want... All right,
I do.
I'm in the middle of a really thoughtful mini monologue here, and you're like...
It was so good.
You stepped right on
it. Reclaiming my time.
All right, let's play the montage.
Donald Trump, just last week, he confirmed to the National Review that he is again considering a run in 2016.
Do it. Do it. Look at me. Do it. I will personally write you a campaign check now on behalf of this country, which does not want you to be president, but which badly wants you to run.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! @RealDonaldTrump. Well, @RealDonaldTrump. At least I will go down as a president.
So basically, this is the beginning of the end for Trump.
The beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end?
This is probably starting of the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Donald, you're not going to be able to insult your way to the presidency.
The strongest person usually isn't the loudest one in the room.
So right now, we have Hillary's about a 75 or an 80% favorite. We have different versions of the forecast you can look at.
Poll has Hillary Clinton up by double digits nationally, 12 points, 50-38, four-way race.
Clinton leading in Florida, Clinton leading in North Carolina, Clinton leading in Ohio, Clinton leading in Nevada. I could go on and on and on.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
And so, right now, Mr. Trump, to answer your call for political honesty, I just want to say, you're not going to be president, all right? It's been fun. It's been great. I love you. Come on, buddy.
We have a major projection right now. Donald Trump will take Ohio. And CNN projects Donald Trump will carry the state of Florida. Huge win for Donald Trump. Donald Trump, while we project, will win in Kentucky, in Indiana, with its 11 electoral votes. West Virginia, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, North Dakota, with its 3 electoral votes, and South Dakota, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, the state of Montana, North Carolina, Georgia, Iowa, Utah, Wisconsin, Arizona, Kansas with its 6 electoral votes, Nebraska with its 5 electoral votes, and Wyoming with its 3 electoral votes.
Sorry to keep you waiting, complicated business.
A lot of people have laughed at me over the years. Now they're not laughing so much, I'll tell you.
I agree. I think that's our favorite montage of all time because it goes through the whole history of it. And they can't believe it. But the downside is then they lost and then they went to undo an election, a duly elected president. They want to unseat him, delegitimize, whatever terms you want to use. Just it's everything that they're doing. All right, quick break. Right back. More of your calls straight ahead as the Sean Hannity Show continues. All right, let me get to our busy telephones here. Jesse, Louisiana. Jesse, how are you? Glad you called.
Greetings, Sean, from the Bayou. Look, first of all, if I were you, I would not let none of this mess that they're talking about you bother you. I mean, it's like my mother used to say, as long as they're talking about you, they're giving somebody else a break.
Yeah, you know, listen, I find some of it amusing, and I will tell you this. I've understood my whole life the dangers of the size, scope, power of government. I've understood it. I've understand deep state actors, but I've never seen it this bad. They really want to undermine and get this president out of office by any means that's necessary at this point.
You know, I'm just a simple coon ass from down here in the bayou. And to be real honest with you, Sean, I don't really, until the last year and a half, I really hadn't paid much attention to politics. I voted Republican because my grandparents and my parents did. But when Trump started running, I actually started paying attention. And the thing that I've noticed the most is every time Trump does something right or something good, they come out with a whole new narrative. Sean Hannity did this, or Cohen did that, or General Flynn did. They've got to deflect. They've got to start a whole new story to cover up the good things that are going on in the country. And frankly, I think 90% of the country sees past it. We know what they're doing. We know that Trump's really trying his best to make this country better. And I couldn't be more proud of him.
Listen, I appreciate it. Nobody in the media understands me. And this doesn't matter. It's amazing to me when I do interviews that I'll say over and over again what drives me, what motivates me, what makes me get up in the morning. It's always about one simple, simple thing is I want America to be a better place and Americans to have opportunity. And I want the America of the last 8 years to be wiped away and people get off poverty and off of food stamps and back in the labor force. And I want to have a safe country so we can raise our kids in safe neighborhoods and have the American dream come true. That's it. That's me. Do I get credit for that? They don't understand it. And the way to get there is with good governance and politics. I appreciate your kind words. Thank you for being with us. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. News Roundup Information Overload is next.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
He stood up and he said the name Sean Hannity.
How did he say it? Was it like Sean Hannity? Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity.
Hannity. Hannity. Hannity. Hannity.
Hannity.
Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean 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 Hannity.
I talked to a lawyer. I'm making a list of any lawyer I might have ever spoken to in my life and asked a legal question. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. News Roundup and Information Overload Hour. We have Sidney Powell is with us, author of the best-selling book, License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice, federal appellate attorney, senior advisor for American First. David Schoen also is an attorney and a criminal and civil rights attorney. Welcome both of you to the program. I'm looking at a whole series of conflicts all over the place as it relates to the media in this country. You know, ABC News exec married to Susan Rice, CBS News president, brother of Ben Rhodes, or former White House press secretary Jay Carney married to Claire Shipman, who was at ABC News, or ABC News and Univision reporters together. Ben Sherwood of ABC News, the brother of Obama's special advisor, Elizabeth Sherwood. CNN president Virginia Mosley is married to former Clinton deputy secretary Tom Knights. And I can keep going. How much longer should I go? Sydney.
We get the picture, Sean, and the Obama administration, that's how they control the press so well. He had people in his administration married to somebody in every major news outlet there is, except perhaps Fox.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty amazing. And, you know, I described all of this in just simple detail, David Cohn, and nobody seems to really want to listen to David Schoen, and I don't think anybody really wants to listen.
Well, I think in some perverse way, I have to say, I suppose that all of this attention on you is flattering. It's now a matter of, sort of try to kill the messenger, because you've really been making inroads into exposing what's going on here, and you must continue to do so. Look, these conflicts that you've mentioned, and that's just a handful of what's out there, are certainly very serious and troubling conflicts. Imagine the relationship between husband and wife in each of those situations is a lot closer than any relationship that you might have had with any lawyer or otherwise. But look, you can just don't have to look any further than the Stephanopoulos-Comey interview of just the other day. Mr. Stephanopoulos was himself under the gun for a while, and then since he has many friends among the media, sort of evaded that after a short time. But his connection with the Clinton campaign and campaign contributions, et cetera, should have eliminated him as an interviewer of Mr. Comey, and certainly as the definitive interviewer that has been presented now in the media.
You know, I just find all of this, you know, somewhat laughable. I spend a lot of time every day picking everybody's brain. David, you and I have had private conversations about, you know, things you know in your legal mind, and you send me information. I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to understand everything possible that I can. And that's just the way I roll.
Right. We all are. Look, there's absolutely nothing wrong in terms of disclosure. I've been on the program in which you have said, during what you have said, Michael Cohen has been a friend of mine. I've spoken with Michael Cohen. There was nothing here that was withheld that's relevant. Now, did this lawyer probably misspeak or overspeak in court when he identified you as one of three clients that he's had? Probably so, because you're no more a client, it would appear, than the 10 other people to whom he referred or people in his daily life who ask him legal questions or otherwise for his advice. He's an experienced guy. That's what started the ball rolling, it seems to me. I'm also not sure exactly, you know, why he answered that question or why he answered it as he did. I think the Judge Wood made some mistakes here also, and I'm happy to talk about that.
What mistake?
Definitely. She should not have asked for that information at all. I mean, the very existence of the attorney-client relationship is privileged. And, Sean, you've just experienced what countless other Americans who are thrown into our criminal justice system experience every day, one violation after the other of their rights. That's why I wrote the book in 2014 to start bipartisan criminal justice reform. It's desperately needed across the board. And these examples that are coming to light now and with high-ranking people are just part of it.
Yeah. You know, let's look at the close relationship that exists between, let's see, Robert Mueller, Andrew Weissman, James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, Andrew McCabe. I mean, if you look, their careers are intersecting all over the place. And especially the most puzzling thing, and I know you wrote a lot about this in your book, Sydney, and that one of the most puzzling things is why would anybody ever hire Andrew Weissman? And then, frankly, when you look at even Robert Mueller's record as it relates to the Whitey Bulger case or the anthrax case, I am pretty stunned because this was the guy that everybody said was above reproach. Why would you appoint an Andrew Weissman if you're above reproach and don't have an agenda?
Because he's not above reproach and he does have an agenda, and that's the precise kind of tool he wants to use. Somebody who's willing to engage in prosecutorial terrorist tactics against Paul Manafort and anyone else involved in the investigation and do anything it takes to win. Yeah. And that's what's wrong with our criminal justice system.
What do you think this is? I probably have been the most outspoken voice against what I believe is a witch hunt here. And against people that I believe are either conflicted and should have recused themselves, like Rod Rosenstein, or have ethical issues that render them incapable of doing this job and doing it fairly based on their past performance, like withholding exculpatory evidence, David.
Right. And so it's not coincidental that, you know, you make headlines now with this sensationalism from yesterday. So as I say, in a perverse way, it's flattering. Unfortunately, you are the lone voice out there, but I think because of the message, the substantive facts you're putting out there, people are starting to listen more and learn more. And I'll tell you, Ms. Powell did a tremendous public service with the book that she wrote. Not many people from the inside are going to write a book exposing someone like Andrew Weissman. The guy not only has been hired, he's been elevated to different positions. And everyone who has encountered him, just about every criminal defense lawyer, has seen, I told you, in the Eastern District of New York, when I first met him, the other lawyers, prominent lawyers, told me that he's known as the pathological liar. That's a heck of a reputation. But You're right.
Well, let me ask you this. I was watching Judge Napolitano was on with Harris Faulkner today and talking about, you know, Cohn might have been under digital surveillance for months, which included recording Cohn's phone calls with President Trump. Now, if that's the case, would they listen into the whole conversation? Do they have right to listen in?
No, they don't have a right. Well, I'm sure they were operating under what they call the crime fraud exception. That's how they did that. But yes, if it weren't for that, they had no right to listen to attorney-client privilege information. And the fact that they would do this against the president of the United States with absolutely no evidence of criminal conduct is absolutely outrageous. And they certainly don't have a right to listen to the full conversation. There's a minimization requirement that the law places. As soon as they hear something off subject of what they're purportedly listening to, they must not listen to the conversation. Look, there are all
But we know
of,
jolly well they did.
Right. There are all so many double standards.
Is that media, would that be illegal, though?
Yes, it would be illegal.
Am I the only one that cares about the right for privacy in any of this?
I hope not. It appears among public figures, unfortunately, appears that way. But I hope not. And I think the American people do care about it, especially things that hit to the heart of privacy. Listen, the New York Times should have been all over the outrageousness of the way this raid on Mr. Cohen's office was handled. And by the way, we still don't know who conducted the search. There are very specific Department of Justice regulations on who was permitted to even conduct the search in this case. It may not be any agent or lawyer who is directly involved in the underlying investigation. Then you move to the review process, and where I say Judge Wood, in my view, made serious mistakes was in not appointing the special master. Yesterday, there was
a special master. I mean, explain the distinction here, because you're going to have a taint official put in the case, right?
Right, and that's just another member of the same U.S. Attorney's Office, a fellow prosecutor. That's an option, but what this precedent within this same court, the Southern District of New York, for appointing a special master. There are many law review articles written on it. You don't want a member of that same prosecution team office, even if they put up with so-called Chinese wall separating him or her from the other prosecutors in the case, for very specific reasons. It's not just to protect a lawyer. It's not that lawyers are above the law. It's the lawyer's client, and ultimately it's the sacred attorney-client privilege that everyone wants to know what they say is secret. So what the courts have said is appoint a special master. For example, in the Lynn Stewart case, where a lawyer was accused of supporting terrorism, the New York Times certainly supported her right to privacy and the attorney-client privilege there. The court in that case said, we're not going to let a taint team or a privilege team from the prosecutor's office review these things. They can't touch them. What they have to do is take a copy and give that to the lawyer who they were taken from. Take a copy and give it to a prominent lawyer who we're going to appoint as a special master, and their own copy, the copy that the prosecutors took, must be sealed into the vault, not looked at all. Let the neutral person on the outside.
Am I overstating this, that maybe attorney-client privilege is gone by the wayside? Things that I always thought and believe were fundamental to our legal system, maybe they're not as secure as maybe this audience would think?
God forbid.
They're definitely not as secure as the audience would think. Definitely not, if this can be done this way.
Yeah.
Even things this sacred now are being thrown out the window in the name of anti-Trump or in the name of whatever the agenda is that's out there.
Does that now mean that, I mean, you know, from a journalist standpoint or anybody that works in journalism, do they have to disclose every time they're on the air? Oh, my brother works for the Obama administration. Oh, my wife works for Hillary Clinton. Oh, my, you know, oh, George Stephanopoulos goes on. I'm George Stephanopoulos. Welcome to Good Morning America. I used to be the hit guy when to put down bimbo eruptions for Bill Clinton, and I intimidated reporters, and I was then a press secretary. How often does that have to get mentioned?
Right, as if it ever would be.
Well, listen, there are certainly certain conflicts that must be disclosed within journalism. You're aware of that. Everybody's aware of that. And you make those disclosures. And in this case, you made the disclosure that you're friendly with Michael Cohen in the shows in which you've spoken about Michael Cohen.
Nobody's going to want to be my friend anymore. I could tell you that. I mean, I wouldn't say you two are going to run for the hills next. I can see it happening. All right. Quick break. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. We'll get to your calls at the bottom of this half hour. All right, as we continue with attorney, criminal justice attorney, and also civil rights attorney, David Schoen is with us, as well as the author of the bestseller, License to Lie, Sidney Powell. All right, so I guess the big question here is, well, what do you think they're looking for as it relates to Michael Cohen? And what does it mean for, say, the president of the United States who thought he had privileged confidential discussions with him?
I think Cohen's another tool for Mueller to try to get anything he can find on Trump, because he obviously wasn't succeeding on the Russian collusion narrative. So now they're trying to go through Cohen to get anything they possibly can, and they'll use it any way they can. It also poses a huge violation of the rights of Cohen's other clients, because they scooped up absolutely everything the man had, all his computers and everything. I would assume he had access to his firm's full database. There's no telling what all and who all clients are implicated in all of this.
It seems like a fishing expedition that can go on forever, right?
Oh, yes. I said from the first day Mueller was appointed, I knew he would try to drag it out for the entire length of Trump's presidency.
Yeah. And what were you going to say, David?
The other aspect, first of all, I'd say you're right. But secondly, the other aspect of this is, you know, we can only deal with the facts here. And the facts are, there are people who have a particular agenda here. And so Mr. Mueller, on the one hand, may have a specific agenda in the Southern District, giving himself sort of an insurance policy on his agenda in case he's no longer special counsel. He's now turned things over, at least as to Michael Cohen, to the Southern District of New York. I would also point out that a member of Mr. Mueller's team is the most recent former director of that public corruption unit that's now handling it in the Southern District. But also, there are other agendas here. Look at Michael Avenatti, for example. On April 8th, he filed a document in his lawsuit against Mr. Trump for Stormy Daniels in California, alleging that the contract was not valid between the two of them because it was an illegal contract in that it violated campaign finance laws, that paying Stormy Daniels $130,000 purportedly was to affect the election illegally. It's the next day, April 9th, that Cohen's office is raided, and we're told right away that this was at least in part based on a referral from Mueller about campaign finance law matters.
Yeah. All right, you guys.
That had to have been coordinated well ahead of time.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. We'll continue to stay on these stories and much more. Wait till you see the charts and graphs we're going to be putting up on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. You're going to be stunned. It's going to take your breath away. All right, that's coming up at 9. We hope you'll set your DVR. Quick break. We'll come back. Write down our toll-free telephone number. Your calls are next. 800-941-SHAWN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. Promised we get to a lot of calls here. Whatever's on your mind doesn't matter to me. Let's say hi to Karen is in New Mexico. We'll start with Karen. How are you? Glad you called, Karen.
Hi, Sean. I just find it funny how Comey is Mr. Morality with Trump, but he didn't have a problem with his own FBI agents having an affair right under his nose.
Yeah, that's true. And what about the hatred of Donald Trump? I mean, Peter Strzok is the guy that interviewed Hillary Clinton. And Peter Strzok was the guy that was writing the exoneration before investigation. You know, I'm going to tell you partly why I'm hated so much, because we've been in the forefront of this. We have nailed it. We've not been wrong. We have been right all the way. And they don't like it. They don't like it one bit. That is a big part of, you know, anything and everything insignificant about Sean Hannity. You know, there's more media conflicts. There's more political conflicts. I know that swamp that is Washington, D.C. They eat together. They drink together. They sleep with each other. It is a rotted culture out there. And they are all on the same page all the time. And those roots run deep. And I'll tell you what's not at the top of their agenda in many cases: caring about and serving the American people. And they're supposed to all be public servants. That I can promise you.
That is what is so frustrating to all of us. We're trying to teach our children to respect the rule of law, but yet they act like they're in their own little separate cult. And he acts like Jim Jones instead of the former director of the FBI. It's humiliating. It truly is. It's shameful.
It is beyond shameful. Agree. But you know what? Here's the thing. You know, I'm actually convinced beyond any doubt at all that if the economy keeps growing the way the economy is growing and the president is successful and continues to be successful, you know, if great things happen, say, with the, if the Korean Peninsula, I know it's a long shot, but at least we got a shot, became denuclearized. If China and the U.S. resolved all their trade intellectual property issues and we actually worked together for the benefit of both countries, if the same would happen with Mexico and say, Canada and other trading partners in Europe, and we have economic growth, maybe we even thread a needle, maybe a once in five generation opportunity when you have the Israelis, the Saudis, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, the Emirates. You know, we have an enormous opportunity here to maybe create an everlasting peace in the Middle East, and all standing up against Iranian hegemony and the threat of a nuclear armed Iran. This is a moment of opportunity, but they're not interested. Nobody seems to care that the president has kept his promises, is fighting hard every day. Things have gotten dramatically and significantly and measurably better. They're not focused on any of that. They want the superfluous. They want the salacious. They want the negative. They want anything and everything that they can do to portray the president in a light that fits their narrative. But if everything is working, by the time we get to November 2020, it won't matter. All the noise for 4 years won't matter. Results matter. And my advice to the president is just keep doing your job as president and governing the way you're governing. Anyway, good point. Indiana we go. Don is next on the Sean Hannity Show. How are you, Don? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean, how are you today?
I'm good, sir. What's happening?
Hey, I want to run something by you, and I'm really hoping that I'm wrong on this, but Jim Jordan said a while back that he was happy that Sessions appointed somebody to help the IG whenever the report comes out. But he can elect a special prosecutor at any time. What I'm afraid is going to happen, this IG report's going to come out. I think it's going to look bad. And then I think Sessions will say, okay, we need a special prosecutor. And that time level is going to take a while for that team to get together, but it's going to run real close to the 2018 elections. And I think Sessions don't want no part of this. I think he's, I hate to say it, I think he's carried his way out of it. I mean, he doesn't want to make any major decisions, and yet – for myself, I voted for Donald Trump because he's a businessman, and I knew that Sessions was going to be his guy at the Attorney General.
And you know, I don't know why the Attorney General had in his mind to recuse himself the day after he was confirmed. Almost like the president's never had his own Attorney General, and then it has thrown things into such chaos, and it's allowed deep state political operatives to do a lot of what they've always wanted to do here. And it's hurt the country. Look at how divided we are.
Right. And what about probable cause? They're going after Trump on a fake, the steel thing. It's all fake. And that was their probable cause. And now we know it's fake. This thing should have been over. I mean, it should have been. It shouldn't even started. To be honest with you, but I know Jeff Sessions and you are. You know, you guys know each other, but man, I'm really disappointed in that guy.
Yeah.
I think he did the president wrong. Absolutely wrong.
I think so too, and I don't think a lot of the events that have been unfolding for the last year would have ever gotten to this point ever, because we wouldn't have had the special counsel. Look how reluctant Jeff Sessions is to appoint a second special counsel. But, you know, we'll see what the inspector general has to say. We'll see what these other people that are sorting through and sifting through information that has been subpoenaed by Congress. The double standard in terms of how everything's covered, it should make everybody sick to their stomach. All right, let's go to Donna is in Staten Island, New York, the all-new WOR, the talk of New York and New Jersey. How are you?
Good afternoon, my friend. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. What's happening?
Well, I'm a little disturbed by, like, you know, this whole thing with all of the people and their connections to the Clintons and on all these different levels. So it's like an octopus with all these tentacles. Like, there's this Kimba Woods, who's the judge in the case against Cohen. That's scary. And then there's all this news coming out that Comey's wife and daughters were very pro-Hillary and stuff. I mean, this whole thing, and I'm really dating myself here, but this reminds me of, like, the political version of Rosemary's Baby. Like, where there's the bassinet, and they're all peering into the bassinet, and they're wringing their hands gleefully. It's scary how much evil is connected and interconnected on so many levels. That's actually scary to me, because I don't see how justice can prevail if you have judges that are so enmeshed with the Clintons, people that have taken, have made donations to the Clinton Foundation or have gotten money from the Clintons. It's really, really frightening, because you really start to say to yourself,
how frightening it is. Look at the relationship. Look at the Robert Mueller with Comey with Rod Rosenstein and Andrew McCabe and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and, you know, just, again, the top echelon. You know, what do we talk about? What am I describing when I describe this deep state in America today? That is the definition of it. And that they think that they know better. James Comey did so many things that are wrong here, releasing privileged information, government documents and information he shouldn't have released. James Comey, you know, allowed a FISA judge in a FISA court application to spy on an American, a Trump campaign associate, weeks before an election, you know, allowed a phony Clinton bought and paid for dossier put together by a foreign national and using Russian lies to manipulate the American people, used as the bulk of information to obtain the FISA warrant. You know, and then, of course, we know Hillary committed all those crimes. He writes an exoneration before then. Trump hater Peter Strzok interviews Hillary Clinton, and 2 days later, oh, it's over. Anybody else would have gone to jail in those cases. That is what is so infuriating and so frustrating to anybody that cares to discern any truth. This is what the media ignores. The media refuses to touch. It's the biggest abuse of power scandal in the history of the country by far. And there's no other way to describe it.
And I don't know if you've ever seen the email that goes around that describes all the connections of people who are, like, who were involved in the Obama administration, and then they were married, who was married to somebody who was the head of CBS, or there was, it's really.
Yeah, by the way, we have the whole list on Hannity.com, and wait till you see what we do on TV tonight. It's going to be amazing.
It's unnerving.
It's really unnerving.
It's frightening.
It's so frightening.
That's why I relation to Rosemary's Baby, because it's just so creepy.
Yeah, you know, it is creepy. And the media is all one and the same anyway. I mean, they all basically echo each other, and they're just an extension of the Democratic Party and the talking points they all put together. They all work hand in hand on all these things. All right, let's get back to our busy phones. Alan is in Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Alan, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking the call. Listening to your callers, it often appears that they attribute too much authority to the FBI. I'm a former agent, and their job is to investigate. The FBI, including its director, does not charge people. They don't exonerate people. That decision, the decision to make to file charges, rests with the U.S. attorney and ultimately with a grand jury of 23 civilians to approve or disapprove the charges. And throughout that process, no one, not the investigator, not the U.S. attorney, not the grand jury, no one discloses the existence of an investigation. It's just not done, even if it makes it to the press somehow.
And you know, I think there's a lot of things when the dust settles in all of this, and frankly, it doesn't matter to me in any way that I'm mentioned a lot you know, whatever chip I'm supposed to have that cares what these idiots in the media think about me has long disappeared in my life. And it actually gives you a certain strength if you don't care what people think and you just stand up for what you believe is right and fight for the things you believe in. But when the dust settles here, there's got to be a conversation in this country about the level of lying, conspiracy theories, the level of collusion, if you will, the stories that are omitted because of political purposes by the media, how abusively biased they are, how they're sheep, they're lazy, they're overpaid. And then we got to talk about, well, do we believe in things like attorney-client privilege? Do we believe in equal justice under the law? Do we believe in equal application under the law? And it's just so obvious that there's a double standard in our justice system, a dual justice system here. That's what is obvious. Anyway, appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's say hi to Stephen in California. Stephen, hi. How are you? We're glad you called, sir.
Hi, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. What's happening?
I'm a huge fan. Okay, so I was watching the interview with Mike Wallace and Trey Gowdy on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I'm highly disappointed in Trey Gowdy. He seems to be giving credibility to this whole Russian witch hunt nonsense investigation, therefore allowing the FBI to stonewall and probably waiting until the November election. So if the Democrats take over, they're going to make all your hard work and your team's hard work just disappear. And I'm just disappointed right now.
You know, look, I think because of Trey's background, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. I mean, there have been times that he's been absolutely amazing when he focuses in on facts and information and he drills down and is interrogating somebody. And then he makes other statements that I'm like, huh, what are you talking about? And recently there seems to be more of those. I think it's his background as a prosecutor, but I would argue the difference between Trey Gowdy and, say, Robert Mueller is I don't think Trey Gowdy would have ever appointed Andrew Weissman or only a team of Obama, Clinton, and DNC donors to be part of a special counsel, nor would I think that he supports the mandate that it goes so far from what its original purpose was into, you know, these stupid Stormy Daniels issues, which is mind-numbing to me. So I think I hear what you're saying. And I think you make a lot of valid points. Anyway, my friend, thank you. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, Hannity tonight on the Fox News Channel, 9 Eastern. Oh, we're going to do such a big, deep dive into, let's just say, conflicts of interest that exist in the world of media and in the world of, special counsels. Also, Congressman Devin Nunes, he is single-handedly leading the charge to get documents out of the Department of Justice and the FBI. So we'll have an update on all of that and so much more. It's all coming up. Set your DVR. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. All the rest of the media is going to be watching, so why don't you watch? Anyway, we hope you'll set your DVR. See you tonight at 9, back here tomorrow. Thank you always for being with us.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.